Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. Again, it's Mike back with another Coffee Time Kick segment. And I got with me, I know one of the best and most eloquent storytellers on the internet when it comes to sneakers. And it is my homie Kari, aka Sneaker Man. Fetish, if you don't know his government name, because Sneaker Fetish.
There you go. We're giving it all to him.
We'll give you your last name, your social thing. We'll keep that under wraps.
Yeah, I got you covered. Don't worry. I got you. Yeah. Debit card.
What's good, man? How's everything going with you?
Hey, man, I can't complain, man. I appreciate you even taking the time out to have me on, man. I'm doing well. It's snowy here today in Alabama, so the do-rag is on, the tea is warm, I'm ready to get into it.
That's man, I'm comfortable. Let's say, man, I got my comfy clothes. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I love it. Well, I mean, our first segment, but we always go within sneaker history, is rocking and copping. But I feel like you ain't gone nowhere today, so you can lie to me. It's okay. Like, what you thought about copping before the snow came, or what you thought about rocking before the snow came?
Yeah. Yo, you know, I got, I'm actually in my little filming room today.
Oh, cool.
So because of that, I have a lot of my current favorite silhouette. Which is the John Geiger 004.
Nice, dude.
John has been doing an incredible job with this shoe, man. For those who are familiar, you know, totally independent model. This man beat a case with Nike suing him and turned that into, you know, creating one of the hottest sneakers. And my personal sneaker of the year, I don't even know if I said this, like, out loud yet, but you're going to get it. But, yeah, this is my sneaker of the year for 2024. So,
nice.
You know, shout to the homie. John is a friend of mine. So he sent me some pairs and stuff like that. But man, like, I'm loving it. So this is the Ice Glow colorway. So this is like a bluish, you know, icy, but it actually glows. The whole upper glows. It's really fire. Yeah. But yeah, this is what I'm on right now, man. Of course the major brands, but the independent brands, they got some real smoke coming. So I've been on that lately.
Always, man. Is that a basketball shoe?
Yeah, so you know what? No, it's kind of like an all-purpose, more so casual shoe. But it's funny though because the tread on the outsole really is pretty rugged. It's pretty durable, and the shoe is pretty comfortable. So I mean, I've gone everywhere in this shoe, and it really gets more comfortable the more you wear it.
Okay.
So you probably could hoop in them low key. I haven't tried yet, but you never know. You can do everything in them.
Yeah, it'd be a dope model. Tell John, throw a carbon fiber shank in there, and I think you got yourself a NBA hit right there. That's a nice-looking shoe.
Low-key. Don't give him no ideas, man. He's always cooking.
Hey, man. So. John, come on the show, bud. Let me that's a dope shoe. I've seen pictures of it. I think pretty much every time I looked down, they were pretty much sold out, which is good for him, man. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's selling them like crazy. 16 colorways in 6 months, and they all sold out. It's phenomenal what he's done, man. So, yeah, I'm really proud of him. Really, really proud of him.
Awesome. No, good looking shoe. Good looking shoe. I like what he's doing over there. And, well, anything on the radar to cop? Anything you like, you know what, 2025, I need to add this to the collection?
2025, let me tell you something. This is going to be the year of broke. I'm pre-broke already.
Me
like,
too.
I don't have it. Like, all year, that's my answer, right? Like, this year, man, it's so many drops, and I'm sure we'll get into it, man.
Oh,
but just,
yeah.
If you can just take one brand and look at all the drops that are coming for 2025, and I'm already four.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got other brands. You got your Sauconys. You got your New Balances. All these other brands coming out. So, man, I mean, just off the top of my head, some stuff I'm looking forward to copping. It's funny, so we're doing this on the day that Nigel Sylvester did his pop-up in New York, and that just went down, so I'm definitely looking forward to his fours.
Yep.
Really nice. What else am I looking for? The Bred 85s. Really, really want those if I can get my hands on them. We got Black Cat 3s come in. Those are okay. Joe Fresh Goods has a 992 that's coming this year.
Ooh.
Gotta get those. Gosh, that's just the stuff we know about. There's so much coming, man. But yeah,
it's too much.
Just a few on the top of my head, but it's so many, man.
Yeah, man.
What about you?
It's too much, man. It's like, look at that list of what it is like out there. And the crazy part is, you look at Saucony, look at New Balance, get Asics. You don't even know what they're dropping. Like,
Yes.
So it's right. a surprise. Like we know everything Jordan Brand is doing, a lot of what Nike's doing. We're like, okay, yep. we know we can't afford all that. Then you add in Saucony, what they're doing. We you say pretty yes. broke is the term because they're out there. They're coming for the pockets this year. They're like, we making back up everything we missed.
Man, it's like as if we didn't already spend enough last year. Like, we were having a conversation on Twitter, and people have been creating these trackers okay. of, you know, everything they spent, you know, all the shoes they got, how much they spent, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, first of all, y'all are way more organized than I am because I don't have that. But number two, I mean, 10 grand, 12 grand, oh. 15 grand easy on sneakers that are being spent. And I'm like... And they're like, yeah, I didn't even get everything I wanted. Not to mention resale, right? This is just retail prices, not to mention any reachbacks that you have to pay. I mean, it's just, I mean, I need another job, man. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Yeah, because I was, so me and Robbie actually recorded an episode a few hours ago, and we're talking about, you know, all his releases. If you just want to get one release per month for 12 months, you're easily about to break off, what, $2,400?
Yeah.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. Bare minimum.
I ain't doing that. I gotta get I'm gonna get like one a quarter this year because I'm trying to exercise some restraint.
Right.
Because it's just, I gotta pick and choose the right way. It's wild out there right now.
But, it's crazy. Like, you think about what you could have done with that money? Like, dog, like, one pair of sneakers a year is like a 2002 Toyota Camry. Right now, like it's crazy when you think about the money we spend. But yeah,
oh, it's crazy. So I'll tell you this: my rock is gonna come from independent brand as well. Serious player only, out in China. They were nice enough to send me this pair. Now,
super clean.
Reason I like this shoe is it has a thought process behind it that I don't think a lot of people realize. They're like, oh, cool, it's a casual shoe that you can throw them with anything. But the shoe comes with two different insoles in it, so it's called the Easy One. Right?
Oh, so okay.
Easy One. I don't have the boxes behind me, but you have the off-court. Off-court, little, was it, ortholite piece, you know.
Okay.
But, you say, you know what? I'm a kid. My parents don't have $200 for this shoe, another $250 for a basketball shoe. There's another insole you can put in on-court. It is a dual-density foam. It gives you the ability to play basketball in this shoe.
So that struck
me as, like, man, they really like, because this brand is really good about listening to consumers. And whether that was the case or not, they inadvertently just made this shoe for, I think of kids immediately, just because that's all. Like, a kid to be able to have a really clean shoe, like Air Force One-esque to just rock, or almost designer-esque the way it's really shaped. And then, you know what? I got to go hoop, but I don't have to wear. I can spend $160 and get two pairs in one, basically, which is super cool to me.
Yeah, that's worth it. That's a great thing, man. That's the thing I love about these independent brands lately is the fact that they can really experiment, and they're coming out with some really innovative ideas. And in a time where we're looking for innovation, these independent brands really got to be the ones for us to watch. And I think that's why they're just popping up, and they're really gaining a lot of traction, because the big brands, they're kind of pigeonholed, man. You know, to innovate at a large brand these days is really tough. It takes a ton of R&D. It takes a ton of approvals. But these independent brands can pop up and do something super cool like this and put it out to market, you know, relatively quickly. Just, and I've actually never heard of that. And that's a really smart idea. I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kudos, man. That's dope. I like those.
No, definitely. And then my copping is something that's actually been copped, but I'm just airing a grievance at this point. So my wife bought me the for Christmas, which is what we're about 3 weeks removed now. She bought me the Fear God basketball tees for Christmas. They're on Foot Locker's website, right? I was like, oh, once I saw D Rose in them, I was like, I'm buying this because D Rose is one of my top three basketball players of all time, right?
Got the D Rose,
And ordered them. She ordered them on the 23rd. I knew they weren't going to get them on Christmas. I'm like, oh, cool, whenever. You know, we do the kids on Christmas, we'll deal with this afterwards.
Yeah.
To this day, I still do not have that shoe in my hand.
Why?
I'm dead. Apparently they said they were back ordered, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. Wow. I went to their website. Doesn't have the back, like, because on the app it doesn't show it, but if you go on the website, it shows back order. I'm like, okay, fair enough. I'm patient. It's cool. I went to the website today. Yeah. It doesn't have back order anymore. I'm like, can y'all just ship it? I didn't say get it to me today. Just ship it.
Right.
Like,
where's it at?
In the air.
You don't even have your shipping.
It says processing still. I'm like, Foot Locker. Wow. I usually don't have issues with you ever. But right. Help a brother out at this point.
Come on, Foot Locker. Get your life, man. Yeah, Foot Locker, y'all know I got love for y'all. I love my Foot Locker family. That's so please, I need y'all to make it happen for my man, Mike.
Just get
I'm telling y'all, get the shoe, right? Get him the shoe.
They
get
my paid man for it. I ain't asking for nothing extra. I don't want nothing. I just want what we paid for.
That's crazy. Man, I hope they show up, man.
I do too.
I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it into the atmosphere. They're going to show up.
I'll take it. I just like the surprise drop. Like, oh, look at that. They're at the door. That's what I'm hoping for.
Brad Favre. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, shoot, man. Like,
yeah.
Anybody who's in sneakers on, whether it be Instagram, whether it be probably a lot of Twitter as well, they know who you are. They know, Kari. You're definitely outspoken in the sneaker space, which is a great thing. You're very open and truthful about the things you talk about, whether it's something that is seeded to you, whether it's something you bought. You don't compromise your thought. And I think that's an amazing thing, especially in this space when people are really, a lot of times, will compromise their true belief on something just for either the bag or the pair. So
facts, yes.
So
that's a fact, man. I try my best to be the most authentic version of me.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest thing to do as you navigate throughout this space, but I try. So I really appreciate you even acknowledging that, because that truly is, that's the baseline of everything that I do is authenticity. So thank you for even seeing that.
Yeah. For real. No, and I was telling, man, I can't remember who I was talking with. You know what? I was actually, shout out to the boys over at Soul Brothers. They actually had me on the other day, so shout out to the homies
over there. Yeah, shout out to Flex, shout out to Morgan.
Yeah, man. And
my guys.
I don't consume as much sneaker content as I used to anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm very picky. Like, whether it be Flex and Morgan, whether it be Haas over at My First Kicks,
my guy,
yourself, Bima. Like, I'm very selective about what I take in now, because I feel like a lot of things got so like watered down, and it was the same thought on everybody's video. And I was like, if I saw it once, I saw it a million times, so I don't need to watch your video. And
that's a fact.
Yeah, so I'm really just selective, and I like, just give me a different perspective, because I look at, you'll say one thing, maybe I think something different. What people, I think, forget, it's okay to disagree.
Yes.
We got different opinions. It's all right. We don't have to kill each other over it.
Yes. Yes. I agree, man. Like, on Twitter, I don't know why people think that sneakerheads have to be this monolith, and they don't. I like discourse. I tell people all the time, please challenge me. Tell me where I'm missing it. Tell me where I'm wrong. Like, but just do it respectfully. And that's the problem. And a lot of people, it turns disrespectful, and then you get caught on the defensive, and then it gets messy. And I'm come on, man. Like, it doesn't have to be all
it's sneakers. So, like, why we get mad over rubber, some cotton, so like some leather? Why we get mad about it?
It's shoes at the end of the day, man. Like, please, I'm not looking for your family. I'm not coming after your daughter. Well, it's shoes, man.
The things that trigger are just very funny to me. Something we're going to get into in a second. I made kind of a thought, my perspective on Jordan Brand 2025, more or less on the 40th anniversary of Jordan 1, because everyone kept saying the 40th anniversary of Jordan Brand. I was like, it's not.
Right.
And like, that's 1997, but regardless.
And it was
talking about just, is this going to be a success? Like, what does success look like for Jordan Brand this year versus a fall on the face? Because I almost hate when I put those videos out, because people get them, like, they get misconstrued with my thought, because, like, oh, he's just against Jordan Brand. I'm like, no, man, like, you look at it. I love Jordan.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I love them, so it means I'm hard on them. Like, I want them to give us a product that's worth my, at this point, 215 and up.
Thanks. 100%.
Yeah. So what do you think about this? I mean, there's a lot of things I want, a lot of things I'm not going to buy, because I have to pick and choose. It's only what a responsible person would do.
Sure.
What do you think this will do? Like, do you think this is a, hey, we want to give the people what they want as we, you know, celebrate the 40th of the one? Or is this a knee-jerk reaction to, we're not losing in the space, but we just don't have the same percent of market share that we had before. We got to get that back.
That's a great question. So I'll tell you, I think that it's going to be the former more than it's going to be the latter.
Okay.
So here's the deal. So if you look at the story of Nike, the chapter of the story of Nike that we're in right now, we are in a rebuilding phase for the brand, right? Definitely. Just got John Donahoe out of here. Thank goodness. We got Elliott Hill in. I think he's going to do, you know, I think he's going to do a lot to re-energize the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within that, we're also still licking our wounds from overallocation of product and this mm-hmm. inventory glut that the company has dealt with for mm-hmm. years now, right? So naturally within that, and it's so funny because a lot of people were like, oh yeah, you know, I don't know, sneakerheads are kind of hard to please, right? Because on the one hand, people love the fact that you can walk into a store and everything is on the shelf and it's mm-hmm. on sale and all this type of stuff. But then on the other hand, people still want stuff that's really exclusive that nobody else has so that they feel special. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, okay, so Jordan Brand heard you, right? Because mm-hmm. they gave everybody everything.
Yep.
They gave us a ton of Wu-Tang Dunks people didn't buy. They gave us a ton of, you know, all these other cult classics. They brought back Mr. Stash. Nobody wanted it. All this type of stuff. Yeah, Nike did. So they were like, all right, heard you. So now they're saying, okay, we're going to pull back on everything, mm-hmm. right? I think it's the right move because yeah. it's gonna bring back a lot of the excitement and the thrill of the hunt, kind of yeah. the thrill of the chase. Not only that, but the big thing for Jordan Brand is that they're really diving back into their storytelling bag, which mm-hmm. is great news for me. You know, somebody that likes to tell stories.
Yeah.
So they're really going to amplify stories and really use those stories to drive an emotional response mm-hmm. from their consumer. And if people understand Nike, right, the marketing of Nike, the ethos of Nike, Nike is a marketing company that sells yep. athletic apparel and footwear 100%. And equipment. Yep. Right? So we're getting back to that. And I think that's really the entire idea of the company at large. Let's get back to the thing that made us hot in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've already started seeing some teasers for the Bred 85 rollout yeah. that personally I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I think, have the story a little bit wrong because they're like, oh, well, this is dumb because the Airship was a shoe that was banned,
yeah.
not the Jordan 1. But what people don't understand is that the point of the story is, what if the shoe were never made?
Yeah.
What if the shoe never happened, right? After the ban of whatever, right? The Airship, mm-hmm. whatever. What if they pumped the brakes and said, okay, kill the Jordan project, and the shoe never dropped,
yeah.
right? And that's a really cool way to reintroduce the shoe that really started it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jordan Brand, if we're paying attention to them, they're starting from the very beginning, right? And they're yeah. going to tell this story throughout the year, you know, accented with some special drops like your Nigel Sylvester's and other collabs yeah. and stuff like that. But they're really going to do a great job of telling the story from start all the way up until now. And I think they're going to do kind of a past, present, future kind of thing.
Yeah. So
personally, I'm super here for it. I think that this is going to be the year that people get really excited, and that feeling of that excitement when you yeah. get your hands on that pair is going to come back, man. The reimagined Black Toe, I'm raising my hand. The reimagined Black Toe, I think, is going to be one of the best drops of the year. Now, the reason why I say this is because I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit. Can I toot my own horn
a
little bit?
Go for it, man. That's what we're here
just
for.
Just a little bit.
Go for it.
Okay. I'm really excited to tell the story on this sneaker because I feel like everybody that has told the story on it so far
yeah.
has told a portion of the story.
Okay.
But there's a deeper meaning behind the Black Toe that I really haven't heard anybody touch on yet that I'm super excited to touch on. This sneaker is about racism. And a lot of people don't understand that.
I didn't even know
this
that.
This shoe's about, I'm going to give you the exclusive. I'm going to give you exclusive because you my guy.
Like, teach me something right now because I didn't know that at all.
I'm going to give you the exclusive, right? So here's the deal about the Black Toe. Everybody knows that the Black Toe is the prototype based on the original AJ1. We all know. But the inscription on the inside of the shoe, where I've heard everybody on YouTube and everything talk about the shoe, like, oh, this is dedicated to the fact that he gave the shoe to a close friend. Full stop. And that's where everybody stopped. And I was like, tell the rest of the story. So the rest of the story, the way that the story is, and I'll, you know, when I do the review, I'll, you know, flesh it out. But Michael Jordan had a childhood friend. His name was David Bridgers.
Okay.
And David Bridgers moved from South Dakota to North Carolina. He met Michael Jordan when they were like 6 years old. Okay. They grew up together. They're still friends to this very day. David, being white, mm-hmm. being in the Deep South back then, having a black friend like Michael Jordan, naturally they encountered a lot of racism. They tried to go swimming one day in a friend of theirs pool, and all of the other white kids got out of the pool because Michael Jordan was getting in the pool.
Yeah.
And they were trying to, they called him every name, every race, the David, like other white people were calling him every name that you could think of being friends with a black kid. And he was like, I don't care. This is my friend. They played baseball together. And so that's why these shoes are so special, because that this shoe is dedicated to that shoe. Michael Jordan gave his childhood friend that had stuck with him throughout all those years and remained his friend for 40 years. He gave him that first prototype pair, and he signed it, my best wishes, Michael Jordan. So that pair was a gift to his friend DB, and that's the story that this shoe is telling. I mean, come on, man.
First time I ever heard this story at all.
True story. Wow. Yeah. True story, man. And so, you know, stories like that that are on the way out, I mean, Jordan Brand, I think, is going to knock it out of the park this year. Yeah. Seriously.
Well,
yeah.
The crazy part is, I mean, that was one of the ones on my list. I have a list of some of the Jordans I want. That is definitely one of them.
Yep.
And, like, I know it's something you touched on before me and you had this discussion. I try to be, like, good. I don't typically buy early pairs. But
I'm like,
but I really want this shoe. Don't want to deal with anybody when they drop. Like that's
right. And I feel you.
I'm like, and they're about retail right now. I'm like, oh
man.
If I buy it, I won't review it. I'm just gonna let it sit in my closet until it's taken everything in it not to buy it.
Yes, it's taken me everything in it not to buy it too, man. Like, because I mean, pairs started dropping when? Like, was it like October or something last year?
So it was October. They had a shock drop. And from my understanding, you probably heard the same thing. Shock drop didn't go as well as they assumed. People weren't as excited about it. And so they're like, okay, well, let's hold them back. Where maybe if we hold them back, a couple thousand pairs will get out there, would spark some excitement when people see them in hand. Nothing changed. People did not talk about them. They were supposed to come out in this month, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah. I've heard now they come out the day after the 85 breads.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I heard that too.
I'm like, Oregon, now the planning's kind of, you know, ideas there, but the planning kind of took a nosedive for a second.
Yep. I heard that it's an interesting concept though, but apparently from what I've heard through the grapevine, the Bread 85 is extremely limited. Shout to Mr. Unloved Ones.
Shout out.
I know he kind of alluded to it. And he said, somebody was like, hey, man, you know, I can't wait. He was like, do you have any advice for people trying to get a pair? And he said, like, good luck. And that was it, because apparently they're going to be super limited. So I'm guessing that the black toe is going to be the consolation prize, as it were, if you don't get the Bread 85. So I'm cool with it. I mean, that's a great consolation.
I mean, I don't want to be that contrarian person, but I actually like the black toe better than the black red. That's just me.
No, I feel you though. No, I get it. Like, and for the price, I mean, $250 versus like $180, a shoe I'm probably gonna wear a lot more.
Yeah.
And black toe. I mean, yeah. Like, I try. You know, these days, you know, we'll probably talk about like creators and stuff like that. Yeah. But like, so one thing that I have noticed, and I'll give you some of the sauce as well. I have pulled away from buying early pairs of sneakers, not just because it got really expensive, but also because the brands really don't like when you put stuff out there early.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I want to maintain my relationships with the brands, you know, that I need to respect their rollout plan, you know, and let them and be a part of the official rollout instead of trying to grab up the views and the likes, you know, trying to be the earliest out. Now, it's got its, you know, like, you got to balance that because there's some sacrifice involved with that. I'm not going to maybe get as many views, but it may mean that I have a great relationship with the brand. So that's really a big reason why I held back buying it as well, because I wanted the brand to be able to roll it out correctly the way that they wanted to as well. Yeah.
So my thing is like, mostly it's costing. I'm like, I don't want to buy something early and it's like, I'm paying out the butt for it. And I'm like, no, I'm not even trying to play that game. But also, as someone who's trying to build a business, again, I know I may say things. People are like, oh, why'd you say? I'm like, well, I'm going to speak my truth, but I'm still, well, I'm trying to respect brands. And hey, if you send it to me, great. If it's early, I'll do what you need me to do with it. Perfect.
Right.
But yeah. If I don't have it, and like, this is, hey, this is kind of the unspoken rule, I'm cool with that. Like, I understand that every business has to follow a particular pattern. And again, I always say I'm never hating on Nike. I got more Nikes than I can count. I am going to be, it's like you have that one kid who's always like you know they have this potential to just be amazing all day, and like you're going to be on the butt. That's what I was like, look, guys, I'm just going to tell you, like, I'm going to give you my money, but I want the best possible thing back for it. That's all I'm saying.
100%. 100%. No, I'm with you. And that goes from rollout to quality to everything.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
I mean, listen, we work very hard for our money, so we want to make sure that we're getting, you know, it's like going out to dinner. You know, you go out to a super fancy dinner, how disappointing is it when the food's trash, you know, and you still got to pay for it. You don't get a discount. You still got to pay. You know what I mean? So, like,
You're 100% right. And that, and it goes back to Nigel. So he did that pop-up today. I didn't expect that to happen. Like, I don't know. Did he sell the shoe today? I didn't see anybody with them. I just saw the, like, the truck in New York with the brick on it. But every Nigel release has had a fantastic rollout, from his first shoe, the first Jordan 1 High, to... Yep. You know, the four, or sorry, even, well, the Airship didn't release, but the four, the RM, and then now this four, like, he is, and whatever team he has around him, I like the fact that they're not just letting him settle to be like, all right, cool, let's just throw it out there. Whoever's surrounding him is like, no, let's tell a full story, give it to who we need to give it to, and let's go that route. And I think it's paid off in dividends, because I have not seen... And I don't want to use this as the barometer of the shoe being great, because something can sell out and be trash. But this shoe has, each one of his shoes has sold out with, like that, like easy. And I have not heard a complaint about any of them. Like, there's been no, oh, this shoe looks like this or that. I have heard zero complaints about anything Nigel's put out. And so I think that's awesome, especially for a black man, BMX rider, two things that never people thought would connect.
Facts.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. No, he did. So the unfortunate thing was that some people right now are kind of complaining about the way that today went, because they didn't release the shoe, they didn't shock it, and Nigel didn't even have the shoe on his feet. He has something else on, and so basically he pulled up in the truck, he dapped up a bunch of people, and they gave out the t-shirts, but that was pretty much it. So... Yeah, they had some promo tees that they gave out, but that was about it. So some people are like, why didn't they give out the shoe? But it's like, you know, it's a moment for the culture, right? And it's, again, Jordan Brand, once again, trying to bring that feeling back, trying to get people outside.
Building.
Have these cool little moments. Building, right? Yeah. Building the anticipation. So I'm not mad at the, you know, at the way that they did it as a whole, but nah. Like, Nigel's story is so inspiring, man. Like, you know, here's a guy that, you know, went from just doing something that was totally opposite of the people that looked like him that were doing in Jamaica, Queens in the 90s. And, you know, going through the ranks of Nike, Nike SB, Nike 6.0, and now Jordan Brand. And, you know, being at the place where he is now, I mean, it's like, my goodness, if that man hasn't earned it, who has? You know what I mean? I mean, he's killing. So I love seeing his success. You know, I love it.
Dude, I hate to say it. I'm such a total like fan. Like, I've been following his career since he was like been with Nike 6.0, and it's dude, I've always been a fan. Like, and it's weird. I grew up in a small town in Texas. I didn't grow up in Houston. I grew up in Beaumont, which is about 80 miles.
Beaumont.
80 miles southeast of here. And you know, black kids skateboarding, anime, action sports. So I was always kind of the odd one in the like group, and that's, I mean, I loved it though because I love that stuff. And seeing like, oh man, someone made it who kind of had that same thought process. So it, like,
absolutely,
even without him knowing, he earned like a lifelong fan, because I really can empathize and understand his, you know, his past. So I think it's awesome. I love to see him, especially with the Jordan Brand.
Listen, shout to the nerd kids, right?
Yes, sir.
I was one. You know, I grew up being one of those kids that was too black for the whites, too white for the blacks. And so, you know, I grew up wearing Vans and Airwalks. I grew up watching the cartoons I watched and, you know, being into, like, the video games and stuff like that. And, you know, and I used to live in the suburbs when I was a kid. And so, you know, even just not being cool enough to ride the bus or live where everybody else lived. I lived in a white neighborhood. It's like, you know, it's like you just naturally get rejected for that kind of stuff. And so seeing, you know, somebody to your point that, you know, kind of embodies that, you know, and turns it into something super cool that now everybody wants to, you know, join in on, like people like you and me. Now, look at how much of this stuff is super hot now. Like, you got, like, look, Naruto is doing shoes. Bleach is doing shoes now. You got, you know, Daniel Arsham doing Pokemon. Like, all of these different things that were, like, so niche and taboo.
Yep.
Now, everybody wants to be a part of it.
Dude.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy.
I mean, I would not want to be a kid nowadays, but I wish that was back then, because it was, like, that's like you said. Pokemon shorts, just short shirts, Dragon Ball shirts to school. And I had to go, like, in a Hot Topic and go buy that kind of stuff, you know? It's like, being a black kid in Hot Topic, you're like, hey, hold on, man, what's going on?
Right. What are you doing here?
Look, you know? I'm for the anime shirts. Leave me be. But
please.
I love that, you know, kids have this ability to kind of be free in a sense of what they like. Yes. I mean, there's still this struggle, I know, with kids, especially more of social media, just trying to imitate that stuff, wear what they're wearing. It's always going to be there. But there's this freedom now, and it circles back to sneakers, because we can look at back in the day, you weren't cool unless you had some J's on or Air Force Ones or whatever it may be, Shocks at the time when we were younger. But now, kid can do, okay, cool, Jordan, straight. This always going to be straight. But you know what?
Right.
I want to rock some Speed Cats. I had Speed Cats as a kid, and people are like, Speed Cats? What you?
Down to the Speed Cats.
I'm like.
And now look.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, now everybody want to wear them. Oh, okay.
Now I feel like I couldn't wear them.
Or Asics. Right, right. Or whatever. I'm like, come on, man. Y'all have me out here looking crazy now. Now
all these brands.
Dude, I was wearing Jazz in high school. I remember I had a brown and like this coffee brown pair of Jazz, and they were like a nylon. Yes. I love that shoe. I beat them to the ground, but now everybody want to wear them.
Oh, yeah. You know how it go. Yeah, you know how it go. It's crazy out here, man. Like, it truly is, but I love seeing, and I guess, you know, the sauce of, you know, the collaborators, like, you know, shout out to your Joes, your Frank Cooks, my man Trinidad James. He did I got my, I think I got mine down here somewhere.
Your homeworks? Water behind me. They're in my box.
Yes, sir.
Over this way.
I see. Shout out to Trinidad and what he's doing. You know, with stocking, man, like, you know, and Spot Built at that. I mean, he, you know, with the call out back to Spot Built, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love seeing these. Jamerson, my guy Jamerson Green, man, like, he brought back Avias last year. Like,
and they were really nice materials. I didn't see one at hand, but I heard they were like super nice, like really constructed. Nice. And
yeah, they were really well done, great colors, you know, with his brand leader quality. And yeah, man, he did a great job. So yeah, I'm loving the times that we're in. Look, it's time. It's our time. It's our time.
35
right?
years old. I'm a kid again. Come on with
Let's
it.
Let's go. Let's go.
I love it, man, because I get to. My oldest is my son. He's 10. He'll be going on 11 this year. And it's really cool because, like, all these things that I was, like fans of, like, all these, like, shoes, I can, like, share that with him now. And it's like, this is really cool. This is, this is a great time, as long as you got your mind right, to be a kid. You know, there's so many things you can experiment with. And I feel like you're not as – the microscope is not as on you to experiment, to just learn things, like – whether it be a skill or you want to jump into a new hobby, the world is open. In the world of YouTube University, you can learn anything. You can be a part of anything, and I love that.
Absolutely. I'm with you. It's a good time. It's a good time, man. To your point, you know, and I know you're a great dad. I know you're making sure they're on the straight and narrow, but it's crazy out there, but there's also a lot of good. There's a lot of good out there, you know, as well, man. So, no, I feel it.
It's funny because I was talking to my wife the other day because we talked about just being crazy out there. Just in schools, man, it's like I think over the past 2 years of my son being about the last 2 years, I've gotten these emails of teachers quitting or leaving. I'm like, I was like, dude, do I just need to be a teacher so I can put some consistency back? And I told him, I'm like, I don't want to throw it out in the air too soon, but I was like, dude, I'm seriously thinking about it. It's like, because you look at people like Andy out there who can, he takes sneakers.
Shout to my guy. Yeah. Shout to Andy.
Love it. Like, I love what he does. It's like, he can take our hobby and then connect with kids. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, maybe that's, what is that the purpose? Is that like, what are we supposed to do?
Man, it's a great time to connect with them, man. Mm-hmm. Andy, my guy D. Will from the South, mm-hmm. he's in Atlanta. He's a teacher as well. Like, there's so many great educators that, you know, again, I feel like teachers are low-key influencers, right? Like, you really have a major impression on these kids. And so how you present yourself and what you put out there, the kids see is cool. Mm-hmm. And so as a positive example of that, like yourself, I mean, you show up with the heat on every day. They're going to be like, dang, okay, Mr. Mike, I see, like, you know, and... Next thing you know, they trying to, you know, get the sauce like you.
Yeah, it's like...
Turn up a child.
Just, you know? Like, just get the mind going. That's what it is. It's like, get the mind going for them just to show them...
That part.
You stop scrolling. We can, you know, all that great stuff.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I mean, and that goes into the next thing I want to talk about. 2025.
Yeah.
We're here. We're, what, 10 days in.
Yeah.
What are your hopes in the sneaker community? Whether it be product, people, creators, you name it, brands... Mm-hmm. What is your hope for 2025 that you want to see, you know, come into fruition?
Man, how much time you got?
Fix it all.
I was gonna say that's a lot of answers, man. You know, ultimately, I really want the feeling of true community to come back into this culture. You know, I think that because of the onset of COVID. And because of the mm-hmm. massive amounts of money that have been injected into this business from a lot of people who do not love it and do not really care about it, I feel like it has, in a way, and I'll explain this, but it definitely has, in a way, gentrified this culture. And, you know, people always think about gentrification of culture, and they always think it's purely racial. And that may be an aspect of it, but at the end of the day, truly to me, it just means, you know, people who saw this as an opportunistic, you know, avenue in order to, you know, gain something as much as they can without giving back to it, you know? And so that's where my mind goes, you know, enough of that. You know, we've seen a lot of it, and we've seen, you know, a lot of these people grow very rapidly in popularity because they looked the part, they were very brand friendly, what have you. But unfortunately, what's happened is that these brands, I mean, I hate to say thank goodness, but I knew it would take some time, but now they're starting to realize that they're wasting their money. They're realizing that a lot of these people that grew very quickly, they do not reflect the culture to which these brands are trying to sell product to. And so in 2025, what I also want to see more of is of these brands tapping more talent like yourself. There's so many people out here that really love this thing, you know, and they may not have, you know, a truckload of followers or what have you. But what they're starting to see now is that those numbers don't automatically mean engagement and impact and reach.
You hit it right on the head there. Right, you know what I mean? On the head.
Yeah, so like that's really where they're starting. So I'm in some meetings right now with a couple of brands, and it's hilarious. One brand, I can't say who they are yet. We're working on it, but they sent me an email. When we started the conversation, the email that they literally sent me was, "Hey, we've cleaned house. We have a new marketing team here.
Okay,
and we do not like the previous campaigns that we were putting out. They weren't hitting." With sneakerheads, we need something that's going to hit a little bit harder and connect a little bit more deeply with the community. How do we do it? And we're talking about, you know, maybe some content or maybe some things we can roll out, you know, pretty soon in order to reconnect with the true community, man. Like, so, you know, we're going to see more of these people go by the wayside as sneaker resale goes down or as, you know, these brands gravitate towards other people. And I think I really want us to get back to going outside for events, doing the things that build community and bring back that feeling. I really, really want to see that. So, you know, that goes from a brand perspective with the talent that they're choosing. That goes to the product that they're releasing. Honestly, I'm one of these guys. I'm not mad at them pulling back on some of the inventory, right? Because to me, a lot of the inventory was watering down a lot of the potency of a lot of the stories that they wanted to tell. So I would say, okay, open the vault, but don't open the floodgates. Like, let's figure out a way to push and pull on this thing so that we can still maintain how special a lot of these drops were, but then still giving more access to people that just want the stuff that we could never have it because we couldn't afford it or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately that's really what I want to see, man. I just want to see more authenticity and more genuine, you know, enthusiasm, you know, for this thing that we all love, you know, and whatever that looks like. Also, let me speak this as well. I'm going to try not to get too spicy.
Uh-oh.
But
it's all right. We're a safe place.
I want more culture vultures. I want them to get out of here. And the word culture vulture has a lot of different meanings, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of negativity out here. And I think that people are starting to see that there are a lot of people whose very brand is negativity.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And like, not even being like a contrarian, well, maybe being a contrarian of sorts, but like just pure negativity. Like, I want us to starve the people who are thirsty for attention and building a brand off of negativity because they think that that's going to be the thing that, you know, sets them apart from the sea of people out here. Like, no more of that. Like, let's starve that nonsense, that negativity, and let's really hone in more on the positivity and the people that really love this culture in this community, and let's do what we can to build that up. I'm working to see if I can do something with Twitter, Instagram, if we can do a meetup of some kind, something that. I really want to do some more community events this year and get outside and meet more people, man. So more to come on that, but ultimately, that's what I want, man. I feel like it's a great time, you know, for us to get back to this thing that we love. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, man, I 100% agree with you because I hate to tell people when I started the YouTube channel because I was doing a podcast a year before. Just so happened, I started the YouTube channel January 2020. I'm like, I promise I didn't start doing COVID. I promise.
Yo.
I'm joking, people. But I was like, just so happened 3 months later.
Right.
But my thing is, like, you're 100% right because – when I look at content, this is the reason I just really scale back and put a very narrow scope on what I consume, because what you consume is like, it can put a toll on you. Because as someone who's looking to succeed in this business, when you see that this person just showed up and their whole thing, and I'm beating a dead horse when I say this, because I say this all the time, is like either two things. One, they're just buying up all their shoes and reselling them. I'm like, well, okay, you got, how in the world is this what the algorithm thinks people wants to see? But then again, people are watching it. So, and on the flip side, it's these people who, God bless them. They, you know what? They come from wealth that, again, I am never going to knock anybody for having wealth and sharing it with their kids, because I can say we both would want to do that with our children.
Sure. Yeah.
But it is hard to sit and watch the video. $200,000 sneaker buyout. I'm like, okay. If I'm a kid watching that, I'm like, I got no chance of sneakers. I don't have to. But you know what I mean? So the reason I narrowed the scope and I stopped watching so much sneaker content because it got flooded with that. And it's just a lot of noise. And so what I turned to is like, you know what? I have a love for film. I have a love for cinematography.
Nice.
I just have things look. So my biggest thing, my personally, is like, I want to, of course, I still do reviews, but they're a dime a dozen. I try to do my best to tell the best story I possibly can during that review to, you know, get people there. And I think people appreciate that. But I wanted to take it and make it more of an experience. So as I maybe testing the shoe or whatever, like, take them along. Like, hey, here's my camera in the gym while I'm testing this, you know, this training shoe or whatever it may be. But give them a experience and then really quench my thirst of the artistic side of things, because I love the way certain things look. Like, I'll sit there and watch like 4K videos on YouTube just because I love the way it looks. And I want...
Absolutely.
And with that being said, I want people to tap into their passion. Not just, here's a shoe. This is what it can do. Okay, bye, pay me. Because...
Right, yes.
Twofold. You won't satisfy your own soul with that. And then second... As like you said, you're talking to brands. They're trying to talk to the streets again. They're trying to talk to people again. What drives a person? And I think a brand's going to respect that also more because you're putting your whole authentic self out there. Like, hey, this may not get a million views, but guess what? This person, I can tell they put blood, sweat, and tears. So if we need to tap them to work, they're willing to work.
Yes, 100%. That you're on the right track. And let me tell you, man, I wish that more people – at that way of thinking, right? Because people will see somebody get something, a free pair of shoes or whatever, and the first thing that they, I can't tell you how many DMs I have of, hey man, what exactly did you do?
Same, man.
For me to get this shoe? And I'm just like, dog, like, no, like, because my passion isn't yours, yours isn't mine, right? Like, so if you want to go to the gym, do a performance reviews, oh, we need those. Yep. Like, we're at the onset of a renaissance in performance,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh,
running is going to go crazy this year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we need performance reviews, and we need them to look good. We need them to be informative. So, boom, like, there's your lane, mm-hmm. right? You combine your love of filmmaking with your fitness, with your, like, you can tell a story that I could never tell. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and people just don't understand, like, when you have a passion, it's wide open because we're all so different. There's so many different ways to attack this thing if you're passionate about it. And I think that's why we're seeing all the people who aren't passionate, because they are the ones that are doing that cookie cutter content, that same spill, because, like, you really don't love it here. You really, like, you know, like, or using other passions and finding a way to bridge the gap into this world, right?
Yep.
So I love how you said that, man. Like, I wish we had more people like that, because you're right on the right track.
No, man, seriously. I appreciate that. And it's really the same, just a passion. And shout out, when we talk about performance, shout out to Chris at Wear Testers, Drew at Wear Testers, and shout out to Soul Drop.
Yep.
And those guys have been doing, like, this consistent job. Like, they have not faltered.
Doing it.
They do their research. And I love that, like, those are, again, few of the channels I still watch, because I want facts. I want, like, I don't want you to tell me this is cool because it's orange. I love it. I'm like, well, okay, but what can it do? But it's being able to go in and really have this, I don't know what you want to call it, this brand for yourself, for lack of better words. And I'll tell you this. So for Christmas, my youngest brother, he's an amazing, like, filmmaker. He got me this book. It's called The Creative Act, The Way of Being. I'm about a third of the way through it right now. Truly encourage anybody, not just, you know, our colleagues and contemporaries in the sneaker world, but also anybody who just creates. That book, just the first few pages, changed my perspective. And I think that's what really turned the, like kick me in the butt, like, oh my God, why am I doing it this way? So I was like, I'm not Stephen A. Smith. I'm not going to be a talking head all, like, forever. I mean, I love this. I love interviewing and talking to people. That is a weird talent I think I had. I didn't know. I'm definitely an introvert a lot of times, but it just happens. I like talking, having conversations. So this would be good. But me talking to myself on a video is not going to be the end all be all. It will still happen. Mm-hmm. But I think there's just so much more everyone in the space can offer. And one of the things, I bring the community together. Let's work together. Let's cheer each other on. Because one thing, I'll tell you this, and you definitely have probably a better mental capacity than me to handle it, because I am just like, I can't deal with that nonsense. So I got off Twitter or X, whatever you call it, because I'm like, why is everybody so dang angry? Like,
man,
I'm like, we all love the same thing. And I understand not everyone's going to get the same opportunity. And gosh, dog it. Talking to interviewed Mr. Miller. Shout out to Mr. Miller.
Oh yeah, shout out Mr. Miller. Yeah.
And we talked about brand deals, of course, have dried up a little bit because people are trying to reevaluate. Like you said, they're cleaning a house and trying to reevaluate. Yeah. But people, especially, I hate to say it, our people, people of color, are really living that crab in a barrel mentality. Like, I got to step over, pull down. It's like, you don't. Because guess what? Yeah. This is the internet. There is space for literally everyone. Like,
man, listen. Why? I wish people understood. I wish they understood just how big it was. It's wide open for the taking, man.
It is. Now, so, it is competition because you want to get that view. Yeah. But guess what? If you make a good enough video, they'll look at yours and look at theirs. But if it doesn't fit their niche, they're not going to look at it. It just is. You can't have everybody.
You can't. And people, man, I'm so glad that you said that, because people really try to please everybody out here. And I tell people all the time, you can't please them all, right? There's going to be people that rock with you. There's going to be people where you're not necessarily their flavor. So be it. The whole point is to do you, right? To do the thing that makes you feel good, that you look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, you know what? You killed that today. You did that, man. And you really did your thing within your passion.
Yep.
I'm not going to get seated every sneaker, right? Yes. I'm not going to get every brand deal. Okay, no problem. What's meant for me is meant for me. What's meant for you is meant for you, yep. right? And we're just going to keep going down that road. But with people, if more people thought that way, they would understand, man. It is wide open. The brand, let me tell you something. The brands are constantly watching socials for new talent. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't get that. Mm-hmm. They are, these marketing guys, it is their job
yep.
to seek out new and emerging talent for consideration. And people mm-hmm. also need to be patient, right? Because people mm-hmm. don't understand this part as well, man. Like, I can't tell you how many marketing guys I know. They will say, okay, we see this person. We got something that we're cooking up for the fall,
yep.
right? It might be the spring, right? But they're like, I'm going to keep them in my Rolodex. I'm going to keep them yep. top of mind, you know? Give them a follow, whatever. Just take, pay attention to them. But so many people, they're like, oh, this isn't working out or oh, whatever the case is. And then they hop off that or they do something else. Mm-hmm. But they miss out on their own blessings before the fall rolls around and they could have exploded with yep. something new. So like I tell people, just be patient. Keep doing what you do. I tell people all the time, it took over 5 years for me to get my first check in sneakers. Over 5 years of making consistent content
yep.
that nobody was watching. You know what I mean?
I know.
5 years before the first opportunity came my way and the first, you know, little bag of money that I got, man. So I tell people, just trust the process. Like, man, make sure you're doing it out of passion. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, everyone's overnight success. I mean, I kind of know everyone's going to go viral, but I've heard, like, I mean, I've seen interviews with people who are very successful. Like, you don't want to go viral because guess what? You can't ever follow it up. And I'm right there with you. I have, what was this? Monday? Maybe last week. I think it might have been Monday, though. I reached my 5-year YouTube anniversary.
Now, nice. Congrats.
Oh, thanks, man. I made my AdSense money. Nothing crazy. You know, it's enough to, you know.
Sure.
It's fuel the channel to get more shoes, to do more videos. So that's perfect. I love that because I'm not spending my own pocket money for that. And what I had to grow to understand is because, again, I'm human. Everyone's human. When you first start, you get a couple years and you're like, wait, hold up. I'm doing this for like a year or two. Ain't nobody talking to me yet. But now I have this sense of relief. And I have to say my wife and my mother are very good about reeling me back in because I would be like getting like, well, is this video just not good enough? But they helped me along with, you know, rest of my family. It's just like, hey, you take your time. Once you become at peace with that.
Yep.
The content will flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big believer in God's timing. He opens the door. When the door opens, you go through it. You work. You do your part. You pray. You have the faith, but you also have to put your work in. So it's a twofold deal.
100%. That's it. Your head already in the right place. I hope whoever's watching this, they're taking notes because your head is 100% exactly where it should be. That mentality is exactly how I got what I got, you know, whatever it is, like that exact same mentality, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I wish more were like that. We need more like you, bro. Seriously.
We really do.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Shoot. But it's funny. We talk about like just even this is messaging for people, right? I hope that we get clearer messages from brands. Hope we get clearer messaging from collaborators and releases because, I mean, I'm right there with you about a particular creator. Is I just want clarity. And when I talk about creator, I'm talking about, I mean, obviously, he don't know me. I'm sure he doesn't. But James Whitmer. Yeah. No hate towards the man whatsoever.
Yeah.
I had a bad experience at one of his stores one time, but it wasn't him. I just had an upset in the store, like anger towards the store. But
I get it.
Also, it was just like, help me understand the story better. Help me to understand it because you're living one way and the story's saying something different. And I cannot remember who it was. I think I want to give Flex credit. I think it was Flex. But
yeah, Flex, yeah.
I am tired of this sticking with like downtrodden black people because guess what? Yes, there definitely are. Like we downtrodden black people, but where's the success story? Let's talk about the success because we look 100%. At that movie he put out. I didn't see it, but you look at the people in there, like Bima, for example.
Shout out to Bima. Yeah,
he is like the definition of like someone who's like building his own success. Let's talk about those kinds of things as opposed to why am I talking about food stamps still? Like if the, and when I say that, it is not to knock food stamps, because I'm glad there's a program out there for people who need it. But now you're kind of baiting this shoe in front of somebody and say, hey, you buy food stamps or you have food stamps. You want this shoe too? They can't afford that shoe.
100%. That was my issue. I had words with James, and I'm glad that you touched on it, man. Honestly, I had words with James about it when I did a video. When I did my video about him, you know, and I talked about him, and he doesn't comment often, but he did.
Yeah.
James is not the biggest fan of me, which is fine, right? But, you know, but it is what it is. But he was like, oh, this isn't about food stamps. And I was like, well, look, with all due respect, you've got a novelty. I mean, you dropped the shoe with a novelty book of food stamps in the box with them. Like, how can it not be? Your whole visuals were about this kid flipping his food stamps to make money. Like, come on. And to your point, right, like, thank goodness we have other creators out here that are showing the other side of it. Thank goodness we have J-Tips that's showing us what black success can look like, or Joe Fresh Goods, or, you know, Abima, you know, or all these other creators, because, you know, there is a fatigue at this point. And listen, like, the elephant in the room, you know, is the fact that Amamanir's product is not selling the way that it used to. It's just not. And a big reason for that, two reasons for that. Number one, because to your point, the story is murky, right? Like, if I ask people, what exactly does "while you were sleeping" mean for real? Every answer I've gotten is just like discombobulated, because nobody really knows, right? And then on top of that, people are just tired of spending so much money. I mean, you drop 6 pairs of sneakers, you know, and people don't have $1,000, you know, to buy them all, you know, so it's just overkill. A lot of these shoes, they look the same, they're the same color palette, you know, and so eventually people are going to get tired of it, you know? And so I think we're seeing that right now. And I know that with his transition with Adidas, so Amamanir will continue their Jordan deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that
social status Whitaker, I thought it was social status going Adidas.
Yeah, Whitaker. No, Whitaker. And that may comprise of social status, because they have Adidas drops.
Yeah.
Amamanir, Jordan brand, has exclusive license with Amamanir. So Amamanir will be Jordan, but everybody else is pretty much fair game. And I think that we'll probably see more of those kinds of stories, unfortunately. But I really wish that, like, James would be willing to open up his mind a bit more to the people around him that say, James, look, you're a successful black man.
Tell
if you want to tell your story, tell that part of the story too. Yeah. Like, we say the things that we say with love because we want better for our people out there. But unfortunately, you do have some people that still look at it almost like it's hating. And that's not it. Like, I want to spend more money with you, but I want to do it in a way where I'm buying a product that makes me feel good about, you know, the story that you're telling. And everything is just despair and poverty and stuff. It's just sad. I'm just like, sad. I can't spend another $250 to be reminded of the fact that I'm poor. Like, I just,
and you made me $200 poorer. Like, you took my money and now I'm poorer.
Right. Like, it's costing me this much money. I just can't do it like that anymore, man. And so, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, I want better for him and for the brand. And I hope that, you know, maybe he's taking a note, you know, a note out of somebody else's book, you know, about what success can look like, you know, and what black joy. When I interviewed Joe Freshgoods, shout to my man Joe.
Yeah, shout to Joe.
I had a great opportunity to sit down and have a fireside chat with him in Philly at the end of last year, man. And that was one of the questions I wanted to make sure that I talked to him about was black joy, you know, and what that means to him, you know. And, oh, man, I just, can we not have more of that? It's okay to be happy. It's okay. I promise.
And it's like everybody. And it's like, let's not harp on the bad, because we get the bad stuff all the time. We turn on news, or something bad. Right. Put on TikTok, something bad. Like, Twitter, something bad. Like, give us give us a little bit of joy to go along with all the craziness we deal with. And
please,
I'm hoping. I know he's releasing a 3 this year. Talk about James. It looks different color palette. I actually like the way it looks. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to reserve judgment until I hear the story. I'll be honest with you.
So, the story...
Oh, Lord.
I got a little bit of info. So, here's the deal. Basically, this is Raised by Women Part 2, but in men's sizing. Pretty much.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
because...
nothing wrong with that. A new story would be...
It's been done. That's my only gripe with the shoe, is that the story's been done. And on the back of the heel tabs, a lot of people who weren't around for the Raised by Women drop, they thought that this was like a brand new concept.
Yeah.
But the writing that's on the back of those heel tabs on that shoe is the exact same phrases as was on the original shoe. So this is just a continuation of that same story. And I'm like,
And it almost makes you feel bad if you don't associate this story 100%, because if someone lucky to have, you know, both parents in their life, or...
This is dope. Yeah, that's low.
Yeah. Or they didn't have to have food stamps. It's like, well, am I automatically a culture vulture because I bought this? And so it's like, understand you want to tell a story for minorities, but go back to Trinidad. Lucia Harris, in that story, he told an encompassing story. Yes, it was about a black woman, but guess what? If you love basketball in any way or form, it's a history piece for you.
100%. 100%. There's so many stories that we can tell that are dedicated to so many amazing people, man. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you take the route of regurgitating a story that we've already heard before and yet another story that has to do with, you know, the despair and the downtrodden poverty, you know? And it's like, man, I mean, I'm sure something good has happened in your life. Do a shoot dedicated to your kids or something. You know what I mean? Like, anything. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure he has to be taking notes somewhere. And I mean, again, he may not willfully like the feedback, but I'm sure it has to hit home somewhere. And I would hope so, as a business person of all things, hope you're able to take feedback and, you know, move forward with it. Not for anybody. I'm talking about, like, being able to take feedback. It's something we're missing everywhere, but especially in our space. Like, if you were to tell another creator something, I feel like, and that's not everybody, there's just a few choice people, I feel like they just get to a point of defensive immediately. It's like, no, like, I want somebody to tell me if I got something wrong. I want someone to tell me, like, I can make it better some kind of way, because I want to be better. I have this innate urge to be better, and I think a lot of people... Yes. Dude, just some people don't take it the right way.
I agree. And I tell people all the time, if you cannot take critique and criticism,
get out of here.
This ain't the place for you.
This
like,
ain't
respectfully,
it.
Like, just show what's on your feet that day or whatever, but, like,
keep it pushing.
Trying to really delve into it, good luck with that. Because these brands, they're not going to care about your feelings, right? If they're like, this ain't working, scrap it, then that's going to be what it is, you know? And you got to pick the pieces back up. I've done campaigns. I did an eBay campaign one time, did the whole thing, recorded it, edited it, gave it to them. Like, yeah, I rocked it. They were like, nope, we need you to redo it. Like, this
try
ain't
again.
It. Try again. And I was like, got it. Okay. You know, and I had to get back to the drawing board, you know, like, these things happen. So yeah, you got to have some thick skin out here, man, you know, and everybody is, a lot of people are a little fragile.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's all right. You'll be all right. That's what they have to be okay. Like, we have to be a little stronger. Like, you can't take everything forward. You can't take it deeper than what it is. Sometimes it's face value. Like, hey, I'm just trying to help you. And again, it's one of those things, just, I haven't had that personally happen to me if I told someone anything. I think the people I talk to are very respectable, both, you know, giving and taking information. I just, like, things you see, you know, on Instagram or on Twitter, you're a fly on the wall sometimes. You can just see it happening. You're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how did we get here? Immediately. How did we get here from one comment? Like, what happened?
Right. Facts. But, man, it's a crazy world out here, man. But we all just trying to navigate it.
Yep.
Best way that we can.
Yep.
All we can do.
Exactly, man. So. And I mean, that's all I want for 2025. Everybody just figure it out, come together and work it out, because there's enough. It may not be the same thing, but there's enough for everybody, and that's really kind of my closing thoughts on it all. So I know before we finish up here, Kari, any projects that you can tell us about that you want to let the people know about before we take off?
Yeah, man, I got some really cool stuff coming up, man. Geez, what can I tell you?
You're like,
so, you know, can tell something like me. There's some really cool documentaries that I know some of the homies are working on that I'm excited to try to be a part of that. They're going to try to bring back, you know, to your point about filmmaking and really bring back that feeling That's going to be dope. Got some really cool unboxings that are on the way.
Nice.
As well, Nike sent over something insane. It's like something new that they're doing with Tech Fleece. So they sent me a really, really crazy package. My man, Phil Lipschutz from Unheard Of, he has something really cool coming up for Valentine's Day. And so,
is it that pink shoe he was wearing? Cause I need a pair.
It's the pink shoe. It's the pink shoe. And so we went out to Cincinnati, in October for his last drop. And so, I think that he's got something that he's cooking up. Once again in Cincinnati as well. If we can get you out there, actually, I'd love to get you out there. So we'll try to do.
I'll take the invite.
We can get you 100%. But yeah, so that's coming up soon. John Geiger just he put the news out there that he has a new era hat collection that's dropping for MLB opening day.
Dope.
And so I told him I need that. However, I can be involved. Let me know. Yeah, man, it's some exciting stuff. It's just some. Like I said, just the projects I wish I could tell you about, man, but it's just, we're still in talks.
That's all right.
Keep an eye out, man. It's going to be a fun year, man.
Seriously. That's awesome. Man. Well, hey, I definitely be looking forward to keeping up with you. You know, I'm going to ping you if I say, hey, what's this? I see you out there.
I got you.
No, man, but no, I appreciate the time, man. I really do. Like, I love these conversations. That's why I started this Coffee Time Kicks, within our sneaker history kind of universe. I just want to have a conversation with people. We talk about a lot of stuff, and I feel like some of the important things can kind of get missed in the shuffle. So, Kari, man, you're awesome. I love what you're doing, man. Keep on doing doing. And tell people how to find you, even though I probably
already
know.
No, thank you, brother. No, same, man. Appreciate you really having the platform. I'm still working on the podcast. So people have asked me about my podcast. Sample size. It's still coming, y'all.
Okay.
Life's life, and I just moved. I'm moving into my new place and everything, so it's coming, though.
Okay.
So that's also going to be big, too. But, yeah, every social media platform, man, I'm at Sneaker Fetish. That's Fetish with a PH. Twitter, X, Blue Sky, Facebook, wherever you can find me, I'm there. And I'm going to be coming back to YouTube as well. I'm taking a year hiatus from YouTube, and so I'm also really looking forward to bringing back long form content on YouTube as well. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. But that's where they can find.
There you go. Well, welcome back to YouTube. Yeah. It's fun.
Thank you. Ooh, man. Yeah. Ooh, we'll
good
see.
Deal,
we'll
man. See. Well, as one man with a lot on the fires to another, wish you best of luck, man. You got a lot going on, but I know you're gonna find success in it. Everybody. Follow Kari, follow Sneaker Fetish. Again, if you want to hear some great storytelling, really deep dive, and you saw some examples of that today, he leaves no stone unturned to make sure he's getting information out to you the way it should be. So keep an eye out for him. He always has something great out there. And guys, tune into Sneaker History, turn in Coffee Time Kicks. Of course, I got the YouTube channel. You know where to find me. But until next time, guys, see ya.
Peace.
Perfect.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.